Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks for being able to gather as we are this day. Lord God, we ask that you be with us, the thoughts that we form in our minds, the meditation of our hearts, and the words of my lips, that all of these may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. In your son's most holy and life-giving name, amen. Okay, our passage today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 8. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get ready and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he got ready and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to slaughter, and like a lamb that is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his justice was taken away. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And he ordered that the chariot stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I've told y'all many times I really do not like going to Walmart. You know, it's just one of those places I try and avoid, but it's one of those places that, you know, you just cannot avoid. You know, people have said, you know, why don't you have church in Walmart? You know, you end up seeing people that you know in Walmart, people from church. You end up, you know, in one aisle, just blocking the aisle. You know, you got so many people. You know, not this Walmart, but some of them have McDonald's or Burger King's or Subway's or something. And people say, you know, why don't you just gather, you know, and a restaurant and have church one day? You know, I don't know how Walmart would feel about that. But one day in Walmart, you know, and, you know, I told y'all last week, you know, that I wear two crosses and how, you know, I've had different comments from people, Walmart cashier. One day saying, "Oh, two crosses, you must be really religious." You know, so yeah, I guess you could say that. But one day in line at Walmart, this lady said something, you know, about me having two crosses, you know, and I explained to her why. You know, and then she starts telling me about what was going on in her life, that she was really in a dark place. You know, I used to tell Amanda all the time, you know, "So what is it?" You know, she would get in line at Walmart, and all of us, these people would just start spilling their guts to her. And, I just didn't get it. You know, I asked her one day, you know, says, "What is it, you know, that, you know, you attract all the nuts?" And she looked at me and says, "Well, you know, what does that say for you? You married me." You know, I said, "Okay, yeah, I guess you got me on that." But here's this lady, you know, telling me everything that was going on in her life, you know, so much, you know. We were talking, you know, we kind of stepped to the side and let the line go up, you know, let people go on so we wouldn't hold the line up. You know, and it got to a point, okay, you know, we really just need to each go on our way. And she asked me, "Okay, will you pray for me?" I said, "Sure." You know, so here we are in Walmart, you know, around the cashiers, the registers, you know, and I start praying for her. And as a Walmart employee walks by, you know, and she knows we're praying, and she stops, puts her hand on the lady's shoulder, and she's one of those people that, you know, as I'm praying, she's just, "Amen, amen, You know, pray it, brother. You know, amen. You know, so it's, you know, we were kind of getting noticed. Which leads to a very important question. You know, do you believe that the God that created and sustains the universe would put you in a certain place at a particular time to reach one individual? That's a very important question. C.S. Lewis said, if the answer to that question is no, then the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ is of no importance. But if the answer to that question is yes, then sharing the good news of Jesus is of ultimate importance. The one thing that it cannot be is it makes no difference. Okay, Luke, the author of the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of the Book of Acts, was a physician, a doctor. He's also known as a historian. The Book of Acts, the history of the early church. And Luke tells us our story today. Just two people and their encounter with each other. A quick Bible lesson, you know, about this story. As I was reading it, you know, I always read through two or three different translations when I'm reading scripture, you know, for a message. You know, and I had one translation, and I don't remember what translation it is. It skipped from verse 36 to 38. No, okay, what happened to verse 37? So, you know, so I did a little bit of research on it. You know, it said Bible scholars over time determine or believe there's a possibility that verse 37 was not original to the writing, so that some Bibles leave it out. You know, they have a footnote if they have it in there. You know, they have a footnote at the bottom, or, you know, even if they don't have it in, they have a footnote at the bottom, you know, of why. But Bible scholars through the centuries working to give us the most reliable and accurate word of God to the original writing. You know, and people ask, you know, how do you know that what you're reading, you know, is accurate? You know, this is one of the ways that we know that, you know, Bible, you know, people have always been studying the original writings and trying to give us the closest that they can to the original. Okay, back to our story. We're first introduced to Philip in chapter 6 of Acts, and some of you may know this story. Some women were being neglected in the daily distribution of food, so the apostles, you know, said, hey, you know, we've given our time to praying and teaching, so we need to set, you know, men aside to take care of this. And so, you know, and it names these men, and one of these men was Philip. And scripture describes these men as full of faith and the Holy Spirit. So that's Philip, full of faith and the Holy Spirit. In our story today, we're told that Philip ends up in Caesarea. And then later, we encounter Philip again in Acts, and some 20 years later. You know, Philip is still in Caesarea, and we're told he has four daughters, and they have the gift of prophecy. And Philip is often called Philip the Evangelist. Okay, again, Luke is known for his accuracy of writing, a historian. You know, and other history that I looked up, you know, tells us that light-skinned people were fascinated with dark-skinned people. You know, and I kind of understand this. Many, many years ago when I was in the Marine Reserve for 2 weeks, we went up to Yakima, Washington. You know, and while we were there, you know, we had a day off, you know, so me and some other, you know, three or four other guys went to a mall. You know, this is, you know, many, many years ago, you know, just going through town, you know, walking around, you know, we ended up at a mall, and we're noticing that people are staring at us, and we just couldn't figure out why. You know, we were not dressed any different. You know, we were not in any kind of uniform. We were not dressed any different from anybody else. You know, thinking, okay, can they tell we're from Louisiana? You know, what is it? You know, so we finally stopped and asked a man, you know, says, what is it? You know, everybody's staring at us. You know, and the man says, look around. I said, okay, look around. What? You know, well, we had a black guy with us. And the man says, look around. You do not see any other black people here. You know, it's kind of a novelty. You know, so nothing against you, but, you know, it's just a fascination, you know, that we don't see black people here. So, okay, so I kind of understand, you know, what that's talking about. One thing I noticed reading the story, verse 26 said, you know, go to Gaza. It's the same Gaza we hear so much of today, the Gaza Strip. You know, but this story is a real example of how the good news of Jesus is spread from one person to another. You know, we are told, knock and the door will be open. You know, if it's the first century chariot, you know, or it's Walmart, you know, God directing the path of people seeking him. Something else, you know, I said Philip is known as Philip the Evangelist. Yeah, I've seen a lot lately, you know, well, not lately, you know, through the years, that Christians do not like the word evangelism. You know, and what does evangelism mean? Telling people about Jesus. You know, very few of us, have, if any, like it when a Jehovah's Witness knocks on our door, or Mormons. And while I haven't had any here, but, you know, down south in, you know, not Allah, but way down south in Patterson, you know, they were all the time. My post office box was right next to the Mormon post office, you know, their post office box in the post office, you know, so I would get to know those guys, all young guys, pretty good. You know, so much so, you know, during the summer when it was really hot, you know, they knew if they saw my truck at the house, you know, or even at the church, you know, they could stop by, you know, and come in the air condition and cool off, you know, and get a drink of water. You know, during the winter, they could come in, warm up, you know. And so we had, you know, some good talks. But, you know, if we don't like talking about Jesus, then how do we expect the good news to be spread? You know, or is it we just do not like talking to strangers? You know, I understand, you know, people don't like going door to door, you know, inviting people to church, you know, but it's an effective way. In 1974, Billy Graham called together a group of Christians to Lausanne, Switzerland, to talk about what we believe as believers and in sharing what we believe. And it came to be known as the Lausanne Covenant. And it challenges Christians from all denominations, okay, Christians from all denominations to work together to make Jesus Christ known. This covenant has to evangelize us to spread the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was raised from the dead according to the scriptures, and now he offers forgiveness of sins and liberating gifts of the Holy Spirit to all who repent and believe. Evangelism itself is a proclamation about the historical, biblical Christ, Savior, and Lord. Now that comes from this covenant. And this begs the question again, how important do you think it is that people hear about Jesus? You know, isn't this what the New Testament is all about? Telling the world about Jesus? The New Testament word for witness is the same word we get martyr from. People giving their lives, dying for their faith. Telling someone about Jesus and not backing down. And what does Scripture tell us? We have to deny ourselves. We have to die to self and live for Jesus. You know, that's not a physical dying, but just we decrease and Jesus increase. Paul in chapter 9 of the book of Romans said he would give up his salvation if his people would accept Christ. How important is it for people to hear the message of Jesus? Is there anybody in the world that you could say that of? That you would give up your salvation if they would only accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior? That you would say, if they would accept Jesus as their Lord and spend eternity with him, I will spend eternity in hell. You know, and I just don't think God will let that happen. That if you would say that about somebody, that you would that wanting somebody that much to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, I really believe that God would say, no, you're not going to spend eternity in hell. You're going to spend eternity with them in my presence. Okay, the story, our story today. This one man, a nobody. You know, in the first part of chapter 8 in Acts, Philip is preaching, teaching, doing miracles, you know, and things are happening. People are coming to Christ because the good news of Jesus is being told. Lives are being changed, and God grabs Philip. Hey, I need you to go do something for me. You know, and you know, why would Philip want to leave that? You know, he's preaching and teaching, and people are coming to Jesus, you know, repenting, giving their lives to him, you know. But here God tells him, okay, I need you to do something for me. So Philip was open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And God sends Philip, you know, to this one man, you know. Can we, going into this new year, truthfully say to God, God, help me to be more responsible to your nudgings, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, even if it's just for one person. You know, something else, you know, to recognize about this story and so many other stories, Jesus told his disciples to go. The Holy Spirit told the disciples to go, you know, and where were they going? They were not going to church because at that this time, the church did not exist. You know, synagogues existed, but churches, we know church, you know, buildings did not exist. You know, church was in people's homes. You know, they were on street corners in the street, you know, at public meetings. You know, I'm not telling you not to come to church, but the reality is churches did not exist at this time. Evangelism happened, telling people about Jesus whenever and wherever the disciples found themselves, wherever the Spirit led them to tell someone about Jesus. You know, for too long, the mentality of the church, and what is the church? Us. Now, I'm not just talking about us here. I'm talking about church universal, churches around the world. Protestant, Catholic, I mean, just it doesn't matter. Our mentality is that we are not going to come to you, people outside of these walls. You know, if you want to know about Jesus, here we are. You know where we're at. You know we are about Jesus. You know that if you don't want to come, hey, okay, you know, it's okay. You know, too bad for you. You know, there's a place for you here, and Jesus is here. You know, but for people to come and know, but that, you know, that's, but for us to go outside of these walls and let people know about Jesus, you know, we don't do it. And I'm not talking about just us here. I'm talking about churches in general, in general. You know, what, you know, I'm not going to answer this question. You answer it for yourself. You know, what do we do as a church to let people outside of these walls know that, hey, you know, we are here for you. Jesus is here for you. You know, come. Okay. Okay. Back to our story. Talk about Philip being open to the Holy Spirit. Not only does Philip go, but the Spirit tells Philip, hey, see that chariot up there? You know, what does Scripture say? Run and catch up with it. You know, he was that open to the Holy Spirit. So Philip must have been in pretty good shape. You know, are you open to the Holy Spirit? You know, Holy Spirit saying, hey, you know, run and catch up to that car. Run and catch up to that person ahead of you in Walmart, you know, or Target, wherever you are at. You know, catch up to that person. You know, question, are you obedient to the Holy Spirit to take off running after someone? You know, or just to walk up to someone and say, hey, you know, it's God's just telling me, you know, to let you know that God loves you. You know, and it may not go anywhere. The person may tell you, hey, get away from me. But the person may also tell you, hey, thank you. You know, I really needed to hear that. You just don't know. You know, do you trust God that much? 1 Peter chapter 3, be ready to answer questions about your faith. You know, what do you tell someone that asks you, you know, why do you believe? What good does it do for you? You know, that answer has to come from your heart. Why do you believe? Not an intellectual answer from your head, but a personal answer. You know, and I think all of us know a lot more than we give ourselves credit for. You know, but notice this also about the story. What is the story about? This story is about two men coming together. You know, about the Holy Spirit bringing these men together. And just the Holy Spirit sending Philip for just this one man. But this story is about the death and the resurrection of Jesus from the book of Isaiah. It was our sicknesses that he himself bore and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assume that he had been afflicted, struck down by God, and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings, the punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. But the Lord has caused the wrongdoing of all to fall on him. And that means each and every one of us, all of our wrongdoing to fall on Jesus. The Ethiopian hears this, the good news of Jesus, and gives his heart to Christ and insists on being baptized. The good news of Jesus changes and transforms people's lives, you know, in an instant. For so many people out there and in here, 2025, you know, the year we're just starting, will be the same as 2024. But so many people want this year to be different than last year. Do you want this coming year to be different? Is there anything that can change in your life, anything you want to change? Do you want this year to be better than last year? You know, one person to another, that is how Christ is shared. To invite someone to church, to ask Christ to lead you to someone, for someone to be open to the message of Jesus. You know, a man probably none of you have ever heard about, Albert McMahon. Now, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name right. McMahon was a farmer that just wanted teenagers to know about Jesus. So it's going to take him to this revival. You know, different churches. But there was one teenage boy that wasn't so much interested in what the preacher or the speaker had to say as he was, you know, the girls that were there. You know, and Albert wanted these kids to go to revival, so he asked this one young man, or told him, hey, you know, if you'll go, I'll let you drive the van, you know, of all the kids, you know. So the kid said, well, yeah, okay, I'll go. So they went to this revival, and after 3 or 4 days, this young man gave his life to Christ. You know, very few people ever heard of Albert McMahon unless you know this story. But everybody's heard of this young man. Billy Graham is how he started. You know, has anybody ever seen Billy Graham in person? You know, many, many years ago, I saw him in Tiger Stadium, LSU. You know, the place was packed. I mean, completely packed. You know, every seat in the stadium, on the field, you know, packed. You know, and I don't know why LSU has never been considered, you know, for a college bowl game, because, I mean, it is a bowl. But, I mean, it's just the Holy Spirit sweeping through that place. You know, it was just unbelievable. You know, none of us here, none of us will ever be another Billy Graham. But all of us can be an Albert McMahon, inviting one person to come and walk alongside us on our journey. You know, and we're all on a journey. You know, we're at different stages of the journey, but helping each other along. You know, in the 1900s, there was an estimated 9 million Christians in Africa. In 2025, is expected to be over 600 million. So from 9 million to over 600 in 25 years. You know, did that start with just this one man? You know, in my daily Bible readings, you know, the other day I read the story about the 5,000, you know, Jesus feeding the 5,000. You know, and it said where it started, Jesus had been preaching and teaching and healing, and he's on one side of the lake, and the disciples, they get into a boat, and they go to the other side of the lake. You know, and it says these 5,000, and that's 5,000 men, not including women and children, they ran around the lake. You know, and scripture has, they got to the other side of the lake ahead of Jesus. You know, and the word used for ran, you know, means, it means they ran together. They did not leave anybody. They stayed together, you know, that if there was men or women, you know, or children that was having a hard time keeping up, they got them and they brought them along. They did not leave anybody behind, you know. And why did they run to the other side of the lake to meet Jesus? they needed something Jesus had. And Jesus knew that they needed something that he had. You know, and scripture said when he got to the other side of the lake and saw them, that what? He had compassion for them. That they were like a sheep. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And what is the passage from Isaiah that I read a minute ago? All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way. You know, that Jesus saw these people. And they were like sheep, all gone their own way. But here they were together. Okay, here we are, like sheep gone astray. But here we are together, the church. Is there anybody that we are leaving behind that we need to work at coming alongside and being part of the church? The message of Jesus Christ demands a response. Wherever you are in your journey of faith is good, but going into this new year, could you go one step deeper, one step further? Is there somebody you can take alongside you in your journey? Today, not tomorrow, today, Jesus Christ is calling you. What is your answer? What is your response? Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks for this day. Lord God, we give you thanks for your written word, your living word, Lord God, that speaks to us wherever we are in our lives. Father, Lord Jesus, just be with us this day. Lord God, that we can answer your call, answer you calling out to us. Lord God, that we will knock on the door knowing that you will open it and reveal yourself to us. Father, in your Son's holy, life-giving name, amen.